problem is all inside your head, he said to me. The answer is easy if you take it logically. I'd like to help you in your struggle to be free. There's only 7 steps to stop your taxes. He said it's really not my habit to intrude. Furthermore, I hope my meeting won't be lost or misconstrued. But I'll repeat myself at the risk of being rude. There's only 7 steps to stop your taxes. 7 steps to stop your taxes. Just study the law, Mom. Do not confess, Bess. There's no need to fear, dear. Just get yourself free. Listen to me, Lee. You don't need to discuss much. To Congress, you write twice and get yourself free. Read the guarantee, B. Join the freedom.
Welcome, everyone, to Freedom Law School's Freedom Hour on this December 9, 2025. I'm Peyman Motahedeh, the president of Freedom Law School. And in this presentation, we will cover the topic of Doge Insider bombshell that the IRS compliance slavery division is in complete chaos behind the closed doors that you don't get to see. We'll have these doors opened up because IRS slavery division compliance told that themselves to this Doge Insider who's there to head up, they trying to revitalize and update the IRS's broken computer systems. If you have not been to Freedom Law School's website, remember, go to freedomlawschool.org to be free of income taxes and payroll corporate taxes for the rest of your life, legally and safely. Again, freedomlawschool.org. So let's see. The gentleman is right here being interviewed, okay, Sam Korkos with Chris Williamson. This came out just in October. But we just went through some of the best parts of this. I'm going to play for you this interview that I'm going to show you the clip. Then I'm going to give you more commentary and show you more clips of this over 2-hour interview. The best parts, I've been chiseled them down for you to see. So here we go to revelations about the IRS.
I had a lot of friends reach out to me from the administration saying that they really needed help doing really looking into IRS modernization. It's one of the worst managed IT projects in the government. I think maybe second only to the VA's attempt at implementing an electronic health record system. It's about $15 billion over budget. It was actually started right around the time I was born, and it's still ongoing. It's still 5 years away. It was 5 years away in 1991. It's still 5 years away.
Yeah. So, yes, IRS modernization has been going on even before his time in 1980s in step 3 on our website of the 7 steps to free yourself of the IRS. We cover this issue in more detail, how IRS is based upon deception and fraud. Okay, they deceive you to believe they're strong when they're actually weak. Okay, so yes, since 1980s, IRS has been trying to update, modernize their computer systems, have been unable to do so repeatedly. That's, again, I'll bring it to you later on. Let's go to the next clip of what Sam says now after he introduced himself to you guys. $15 billion over budget the last time. Here we go.
So we at the IRS, the policy for a long time has been we don't do technical interviews. We just do resume review. So if you were to apply and you just wrote the word Java on your resume, we will just assume that you know how to do this.
Isn't that crazy? You just, to be hired by IRS to do a job, you write in your application, your resume that you do something, and they don't check to see if you actually are telling the truth. Do you actually know that computer program at all or not? They just assume you're good, and obviously that's false. Okay, people lie, and when you get the job, oh, well, you're already in. You can't get rid of you, as you'll see how difficult it is to get rid of IRS employees in just a minute in the federal government.
The challenge, though, and I'll just walk you through the process why this is such a problem.
Hmm.
At the IRS, we have 6 job openings, right? And as a point of comparison, if you wanted to hire somebody, you would write up the job description. This is what you do. You post it. You interview those people. You decide if you want them. You hire them or you don't hire them. It's not like that here. So let's say you want an engineer who specifically does this one thing. Well, you send it to the HR team. They decide if it matches one of the existing, they call them PDs, position descriptions, I think. If it matches one of the existing approved PDs, which in the case of our current hiring pipeline, many of them did not.
Mm-hmm.
And so they ended up getting posted with some fairly generic thing. But by the time you've written the position description, the engineers are no longer in the loop on this process. So it gets handed off to a mid-level person in HR. They decide if your job description is accurate or not. They then post it. You get a bunch of people apply. The mid-level in HR decides whether that person is qualified. The engineer is not in this loop at all, by the way.
Yeah, the HR person does not have technical capability. They can't assess whether or not this person can actually write in Java or whatever.
They just look at a resume. They make the determination. Is this person qualified for this role? And then eventually this person, the engineer, will finally get like a packet of PDFs to review. It's like, here's 10 people that we think are qualified for this role.
Okay. Let's go next spot about this story of hiring people incompetent.
And I said, okay, well, you're going to have to figure out how to do this without any of those things. Because you can't fire the people who are not good. You just can't. It's not.
Why?
Well, this is a whole long conversation about civil service and what it means. There is a reason why it exists, and we have to go back to like 1880 to explain why this exists. And it exists for reasons that make sense. We may be at a point where we've over-indexed, but back in the day, this would have been like Andrew Jackson era, they used to call it the spoils system, where when your party would win an election, you would fire basically the whole government, and you would install all of your buddies. And there was a lack of continuity. So, like, major government functions just stop working because we have these new people in who don't know how any of these things work. They would make a whole bunch of money, and then they would leave when they lose the next election. So this is not good. So the civil service reforms, I think it was like 1883, they created this concept of like a permanent civil service where there's some class of people who are apolitical, who you cannot just willy-nilly fire all these people just because you won an election. They have certain protections, which I think is generally a good thing because you do get continuity of service for these functions.
Yeah. You get continuity of service, but the dead wood stays around and more dead wood on top of more dead wood that produces nothing. And this stink gets worse and rotten and continues to get more rotten. That's the background. I'm going to get the good stuff to you in just a little bit, okay? Here's a couple more interesting clips before we get
there. So the most common way that I've heard from inside of government, people have been there for a long time, the most common way to get a poor performer off your team is to promote them. Yeah, this is absolutely ubiquitous. Like, everyone does
this.
You
pass the parcel up.
Yeah, you just, like, give them a promotion, move them to another team, and we can keep this.
Is that unbelievable or what? You cannot practically fire anybody at the federal government. The most incompetent person, druggy, alcoholic, comes to work late, doesn't come for days at a time, insults people, destroys files by accident or incompetence or stupidity. Okay, whatever. Think about worse things. You can't get rid of them. So what can you do? You cannot demote them either. You have to promote them some other spot to get rid of them in your area. You just pass the incompetent person to another part of the government organization to hurt this other part, but you're free of that guy who's bad. That's how bad the system is with the federal government, IRS, more particularly. Here we go. Here's more.
You ask very basic questions about their role, and they can't even answer the simplest questions. Like if your job is you are the engineer responsible for data integrity, and I ask you a basic question of like, okay, so how does data go from here to here? And they go, oh, I don't know. We should ask so-and-so. It's like, okay, is that just your answer for everything? Like what do you actually do other than set up meetings? There's a really good book. Do you ever read the book Bullshit Jobs?
No, but I have an idea about what it is.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. And because you can't really fire these people, because you can't really give them negative performance reviews, they're just sort of there. As like a data point, at most software companies that I've worked at or had exposure to, the ratio of engineers to non-engineers within like a product design engineering function is something like 5 engineers to every 1 non-engineer. Or if you're like a really tech-heavy company, it might be 10 to 1. We're basically the inverse of that. It's like 1 to 10. There are so many people whose job it is to like manage managers of managers, of contracts of managers. There are some really good people, but it is not the majority.
Right. Isn't that crazy? You have like 10 people to manage one guy that actually is supposed to do the job, assuming the IRS hired someone that can do the job. The guy claims he can do the job on his resume, but he doesn't know how to do the job. And it's 10 people supervising him not being able to do the job. You get the picture of this is the IRS. Nothing in the private company you work for at all whatsoever, right? It gets worse. Here's more.
The interesting challenge about building software in the government, that my vantage point is a little bit skewed because the IRS is basically a technology company. In a lot of other government organizations, the technology is very much a secondary consideration for them. But for the IRS, almost everything we do ultimately is downstream of technology. If you want to do enforcement of tax, you have to use computers to figure out who is non-compliant. If you want to pull up somebody's tax...
Right. They must use computers. They don't do one-on-one checking on you. They don't do that. They use the computers to organize things and go forward with anything, right? Especially enforcement, right? Here we go.
Information when you're on the phone with them for customer service to resolve an issue, you need the IT system to be good in order to do that. Virtually everything we do is based on IT systems. So a lot of our systems are internally built. A lot of other systems are built with vendors, and these vendors are... I think the biggest challenge you have is there's this core incentive misalignment issue that you have with the vendors, where because the people making the decisions on whether to sign a contract or not, it's not their money. You have this very large budget. This is one of the other, I'm not sure I would call it a misconception, but it's commonly said, people say, oh, the budgets are so tight. I can tell you firsthand, especially within IT, at the IRS, the budgets are not tight. We spend so much money on these things, but nobody cares. Nobody's paying attention. We will gladly spend hundreds of millions of dollars with some vendor to build a thing over the next 5 years, but we won't pay our engineers slightly more money because of some weird statutory thing where you can't compensate engineers at even close to market rates once you reach a certain threshold. So I'll give you like a very specific example that I'm dealing with right now.
Of course, he gives an example, but waste and fraud that you're hearing, it actually gets worse. Hear this one. about the craziness they got?
There's a vendor that we wanted to work with to build a particular system.
And when you say vendor, what do you mean?
A vendor is like Accenture, Deloitte, Booz Allen Hamilton, Leidos, Palantir. There's like a whole list of companies that are contractors that work commonly with the government. I'm sure there are thousands of them, but there are some that are bigger and more well-known than others. I think Booz Allen Hamilton gets something like 97% of their revenue from the government. Like they are like one of the quintessential vendors. One of these that I'm talking to now, there was a previous vendor that we were using, and they were really taking advantage of the government on pricing. And so I talked to one of the new vendors and said, can you do this for us, and how much would you charge? And it was a much lower rate. I think it was something like $2 million a year is what they offered. And I said, okay, great, but that's the price, right? I just want to make sure that that's going to be the price that we pay. They said, yep, you know, we're not like those other guys. It's $2 million, and there's a couple other projects they're working on as well. The first 6 months go really well. Great. Then the contract comes up for a renegotiation. And now they want $100 million a year. And I'm asking them, I thought we talked about $2 million for this, $250,000 for that. It's like, oh, that was our pilot pricing. It's like, if I had known that you were going to raise your price arbitrarily by 20x for no reason whatsoever, I would not have agreed to this. But now we're in a position where we can't just stop because now they're in our systems. And so now there's going to have to be this whole, we're either going to come to terms with like a more reasonable price, or we're going to have to find a new one.
See? Thieves and crooks are ripping off the system. This is not just the IRS. The entire federal government is that way. State governments are much better, but they've got corruption and waste in them as well. These thieves are getting rich off your hard-earned money, going from $2 million to $100 million. Is that crazy or what? But this is system-wide, okay? They change one thief, one crook ripping off the American people to another thief and crook, and that's just the norm with your money, folks. Here we go. Here's more.
I think there's one thing that it is always missing and will always miss, and this is just I would describe it as an assumption that you have to make when you're thinking about designing any system, and it's kind of how we got here to begin with, which is there is no feedback loop when it's the government. It's kind of like why FDR was so opposed to public sector unions, is because in the private sector, you can unionize, but if you demand too much from the company, eventually the company will just die. Mm. But the government won't. You can just demand more. You can just work less. There is no counterbalance to the unions in the public sector. Mm-hmm. You can just always say yes and nothing happens. The debt just gets larger. The amount of money just goes up. And there is no force that pushes against it. So the assumption that you always have to make, and why we end up with so many of these rules around personnel, around contracts, is that there is no natural incentive structure that prevents government from doing bad things.
I think it doesn't surprise me that this is the sort of challenge that people are facing. But also, 16%, only 16% of Americans trust the federal government. That was some Pew study from 2023, I think. Is that surprising to you, given that what you've seen from the inside? I don't know what trusting the government means, but you would trust somebody to look after your dog. Okay, so what are the things that they need? Well, they need to be driven. They need to be competent. They need to be conscientious and aware. They need to have the skill set that's required to be able to look after a dog. They need to not be malicious against dogs. So there's, you know, the fraud, waste, abuse, like insider trade, all of those things. There's a number of different levels that you need to get through in order to be able to think, I trust this person. And not all of them are malicious, and not all of them are competence-based. But 16% of Americans trust the federal government. Doesn't seem surprising.
Well, of course. There are still percent of Americans who have been deceived and ignorant to trust this corrupt entity, wasteful entity that the federal government has become over the last 200 years or so. Okay. Now, with that background, okay, of incompetence, of waste, they don't hire competent people, okay? They got 10 people watching one person actually supposedly doing the work, okay? They waste the money on these contractors who don't know what they're doing. They're ripping off the government. They can't update the computer systems in over 40 years, from 85 to 2025. They have not updated the system of the IRS. They've tried again and again and failed because of all this. And now comes the interesting part, because the compliance division, that's the division of the IRS that is supposed to keep you as a slave afraid of the IRS. Whoa, be a slave, file income tax, otherwise you go to prison, we take everything you got. Whoa, be afraid. Artists, collections, whatever, all that stuff is them. They called Sam for help, and look at this. This is very eye-opening. I left the best for last for you guys. Here we go.
In the IRS, like, the compliance team told me early on they really need help with their software systems. They said we have...
They really need help. Got that? The compliance. Going after people, whether you don't file a tax return, don't pay, okay, whatever. They really need help. Wow. Of all this, the parts of the IRS, that's got to be the worst. Because you are free. You could have stopped filing and paying income tax a long time ago. You just didn't know the IRS is so weak. The media and the accountants, CPAs, who make money off of you filing tax returns, they deceived you to believe you're weak, and the IRS will get you if you don't file a tax return, if you don't pay income tax. That's why you've been so afraid. But it's not necessary for you to be afraid, because you have nothing to be afraid of. Look at what the compliance division asks him to do, what they tell him, okay?
At least 60 different systems that do not communicate with each other at all. I assume this was an exaggeration. I spent 2 full days now at the compliance facility just watching how these systems work. They are, if anything, they're under they're underestimating how many of these systems there are. In software, when you're building these types of systems, one of the just core principles is you want to have a single source of truth for any piece of data. This is foundational. Sometimes you might have 2 sources of truth if you're doing like a really messy migration, or you have some caching layer and you're kind of balancing those two. But really, one is the goal. As of last count, which I think is last week, the IRS has about 108 competing sources of truth. I'm not talking about data sources. This is like the most complex Rube Goldberg I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. The people who try to enforce attacks on you, force you, twist you, scare you, hurt you, they have over 100 different computer systems with information on them, and they don't talk to each other. They do not harmonize their information, each of them, with each other. So this computer system says something else about you. This other one has different information. This other one, different information. This one, nothing. That one, nothing. That one, wrong information. It's just crazy. It's total chaos. That's why they asked Sam to help them to put these systems that have all this false, contradictory information into one system that is all integrated. Of course, you cannot do that with this whole background of mess, where you cannot get rid of bad people. You have to promote them someplace else to get rid of them. At the end, the people, the managers, are not, none of them are programmers. That's right. The people, I didn't put this clip, I'll put added later on. The people at the IRS that are in charge of the coding, computer coding, none of them are coders. I mean, it's like someone in charge of... electrical work, building a building. He's not an electrician. He's a cement foundation. He doesn't know anything about electrical jobs. Well, you put him in charge of doing cement work, not supervising electronic work. But they have these incompetent people supervising. So you don't need to be afraid for the IRS, folks. That is the great news that you all should be pretty excited about. Now, what I'm going to show you, the answer is this for you. You don't need to be afraid, my friends. I have not filed a paying income tax for over 30 years, openly. I've been under criminal investigation and others' investigations since 1994. They've never been able to put me in prison, okay? Never filed and paid them anything. I'm openly teaching you to do the same legally and safely like myself. So, of course, they want to shut me up, not to tell you the truth, because they're afraid you'll wake up and be a free man or woman, not a slave. Sorry about that for them, because you just heard the truth. All you gotta do is to stop being a slave, be free, keep all your paycheck, okay? All your money, so stop filing income tax. Go to our website, freedomlawschool.org, okay? And then there, you'll see the truth of how you can take the 7 steps to free yourself, to regain your power and freedom, and never again voluntarily pay the Washington, D.C. swamp safely and legally guaranteed. So when you go there, by the way, you can go stop income tax withholding on your paycheck by going to, on the right, on the top center of our website, click on that free yourself from tax withholding. Boom, there it is, the page on how you can stop your employer from stealing from your paycheck supposed income taxes and sending it to the IRS. Your employer is your enemy, practically. Yes, if he doesn't steal your money out of your paycheck, you'll be free. That's right. So employers, stop stealing from employees' paycheck. Don't require them to fill out W-4 forms. Don't send to the IRS a W-2 at the end of the year. Tell them that you paid them taxable income, because you did not. That money is not taxable. Do not send 1099 forms to the IRS that you paid somebody else money, Mr. Employer, business owner. Okay? So that's something to keep in mind. Now, after all that, you see first the law. At our website, freedomlawschool.org, we show you the law that based on the official legal websites of the U.S. government, no law requires 99% of Americans to file and pay income taxes. It's right there. You can click on this brown, golden stuff, the brochure, explains it to you, or watch this 10-minute video and a few extra videos right there. It's all there for you to see very easily. Step 2 is you got to stop putting a rope around your neck with the 1040 form you sign every year under oath. You give it to the IRS, and when you sign that 1040 form, you confess under oath that you owe the IRS money. And that is how you give the IRS the power to rape you with audits, empty your bank accounts, take your crypto, steal your property, put you in prison. All was done by you. So you stop doing that. And then next thing, you got to realize IRS is based on bluff. I just showed you. IRS is bluff. They're a bunch of incompetent, disorganized, dysfunctional nincompoops. Okay? So don't be afraid of them, as I just showed you, because you've been brainwashed all your life to be afraid of the IRS, that you got to file and pay income tax, but you do not have to file and pay income tax, okay? So realize this deception in step 3 of Freedom Law School's website. And step 4, you realize that, folks, I have beaten this lizard called the IRS. They are not a Godzilla they pretend to be, okay? None of my students have gone to prison. None of them have lost any money to the IRS with the levies or seizure of the property as long as they came to Freedom Law School stage with me, okay? They come to me clean and stay. It's very simple. So then, and then here we go. What's the next step? Step 5, okay? You don't have to be afraid of them, okay? And you don't have to pay tribute to the IRS. Just write your congressman. Ask him to show you if you're wrong and they never can. We've done petitions to Congress about this income tax issue. They've never shown us to be wrong. That's proof that we are right. And the next, you can choose to get together like this great men in America's founding fathers. Join hands together. And there's power in that when you get together rather than individuals. Come together and we can beat this enemy that the federal government has become of the American people. And you can restore freedom in America by joining the Restore Freedom Plan and get 100% guarantee you will not go to prison. I will do all the legal work for you. Okay? And we have attorneys, everything. And if they take your money, we'll give your money back too. You have zero risk. That's right. Zero risk to you. Only guaranteed way to get 100% zero risk for the IRS is the Georgia Restore Freedom Plan. Not your incompetent accountant, CPA, bookkeeper, tax attorney who claims to know here the Internal Revenue Code, the federal tax law. He doesn't know this. Over 10,000 pages of gobbledygook, tiny tissue thin nonsense that doesn't apply to you unless you drill oil. Okay? Unless you import something into America. With those few exceptions, it's not about you. You can fire your CPA, your incompetent tax attorney. They were not taught about the law in accounting school. They were taught to better make you a slave. Fire him. You don't need him. And last but not least, all you gotta do is to be a modern day American patriot, Paul Revere. Tell American people, your friends, neighbors, coworkers, family members, the truth about the law. Well, I just show you at our website, freedomlaws.org, and have them be free. Have them become prosperous. America and our families will be great once again. We can make America truly great again if you just open your mouth and tell them, contact us. We'll send you our Restore Freedom brochure or Fast Track Your Success brochure. 12 pages of truth. Everything is the same inside, just a different front cover. 50,000 reward. Anybody can show us wrong about anything legal in these brochures, okay? Or have them go to our website and text it. Email it to your friends, our information. Give them a chance to live free and we'll pay you. So the freedom that you want is in your hands. All I can do is to love you and provide this information for you. This immigrant from Iran who came to America to live free, I found freedom for me, but for you, I can just give it to you, but you the one that has to accept it. Listen to it, understand it, and do it. So as you drive to and from work every single day, watch our videos on our 7 steps at freedomlawschool.org. Watch the road. Play on your smartphone the videos. Watch the road and listen to the videos. Then at lunch or dinner, watch them and listen at the same time. Okay? Do it every day. That's right, every day. You're going to see it, hear it, and say, oh, this was so easy. You know? It's like the movie Matrix. Remember movie Matrix? They have Neo on there. What does he do? He's got this thing in the back of his head, and he's been programmed with Kung Fu. His eyes open up after a while and says, I know Kung Fu. Let's go do it. He does all his Kung Fu stuff, right? Well, your Kung Fu is to listen to our website videos and read it, and you will be free, brothers and sisters. So with that, I give you my love, and I encourage you to seek the truth, and the truth will set you free at freedomlawschool.org. Okay, now I am ready to answer your questions. First, I want to apologize for the late start we had today. I think we had some troubles with YouTube still. Yeah, sorry we couldn't get on YouTube, so that's why we had a delay. So I appreciate your patience okay, to call and get your questions answered. I have several people who have questions that mailed in to us. We'll get to them. Comments online, we get. We have put that TV screen on for the questions online. But first of all, we will answer your questions if you call in. The number to call to get the questions answered is 442-552-1299. And then you're on your keypad, you press 1 to get on the list of people to get your questions answered. Again, the number is 442-552-1299. And then press 1 on your telephone keypad, and you will be on a list of people to get your questions answered. So, there's nobody asking questions on the telephone. I'm going to go to your questions online. The first person says, I'm new to this knowledge and information, and I'm curious about the requirements for state taxes. Thank you for your work. Well, that's a general question, and that's available, the answer, on our website. That's freedomlawschool.org. Let's go there, okay? If you go there, on the top of our page, under educational material, you go see FAQ. On the educational tab, drop that menu, FAQ, click on FAQ, and you go down. Guess what? I have a video specifically on this topic. What about state income taxes? So here it is, this video on this. Watch that, and that will answer questions about the state income taxes. All right? We have a couple of people with questions right now calling in. Let's get to these people. Area code 214, area code caller, and 347, area code caller. 214, area code caller, please give me your first name, how you heard about Freedom Law School, and then your question, please. Are you there?
Yes, 214-8307?
Yes.
Yes, my name is Alex, and I heard from Freedom Law School through some CTC readers.
CTC
from the book,
readers.
CTC, yes, from that book from Pete Hendrickson.
Oh, cracking the code. Yeah, I got you. Okay, very good. I'm glad they reached out to you to give you a hand, because Pete Hendrickson, unfortunately, he doesn't help his people, and I've told them, why don't you help them? They're following your method. Help them, but they don't, so I'll see what I can do to help you out. What is on your mind, Alex?
Well, I've been claiming exempt on my W-4 forms since 2019, and I recently got those lock-in letters, the 2801C, and they informed me that they send one to my employer, too. And I know they don't meet all the requirements on their withholding agent to withhold on their 1441 all the way to 14 something. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. I just was calling to discuss my options on that.
Unfortunately, the problem is half IRS, half is your employer, and his accountant, CPA, okay, tax attorney, who falsely believe that if they don't steal your money, give it to the IRS, they will be in trouble with the IRS. The fact of the matter is, employers are free to ignore that letter of the IRS. It's completely illegal, has no legal authority under Internal Revenue Code Section 3402 or 3403. The IRS claims they have that authority. They do not have that authority. But the employers and the incompetent CPA accountant attorneys tell them, well, do it anyways. That's the problem. And sometimes you can talk to them, employers, if they're not a huge corporation, and you can talk to the owner of owners or the decision maker at the top, not at the bottom. So let me ask you, the company you work for, how many employees does it have? And in the employees' rankings, are you in the top 50%? 10%, 1% in terms of importance, closest to the owner?
Well,
what would you say?
They're an aviation company called Standard Aero, and they got, you know, I guess a few thousand employees.
Okay. And how important are you in that ranking of the company?
I'm a aircraft mechanic. So okay. We're short on aircraft mechanics. I'm not a manager or anything like that, but I do what my job is. Not many people can do.
Well, you can go support. To your managers and have them go to the payroll department. That they don't have to do this at all. They don't. The IRS has no authority to do that. The law doesn't say they can. Section 3402 or 3403. And have them go to bat for you with the Human Resource Department handles this usually. And maybe you could talk to them. Maybe they'll listen to you. They probably won't, sadly. But that's all you can do besides leaving, getting another job with another company or start your own business or retire. But sadly, that's the case. There's no easy answer, which is why IRS does that. Because they shortcut everything, a legal process, by doing this thing, this situation. How long have you been with this company, Alex? And could you just go to another competitor instead? Because you obviously is someone in demand.
Yeah, there's other employment options that I can pursue. I've been with this company for about 5 years, and I'm pretty comfortable. But you know, I'm not afraid to jump ship for my benefit.
Then do that. Tell them, look, I'm going to leave. Okay, you don't have to do this at all. There's no law in here.
Is that your,
there is no law in here that will punish you, allows the IRS to do this thing. Just tell them that. And as a Restore Freedom Plan member, if you do that, we'll try to help you with that. Talk to the employer. But you got to find out who in the company to talk to beyond the mere clerks at the payroll or human resource department that handles this, beyond the clerks and the managers. We got to get to someone higher up who has authority to say, don't do this, lower level people. Usually the controller or attorney, tax attorney of the corporation. If you can do that, we can get someplace. Because the clerks at the lower level are just a bunch of nice but ignorant people that say, look, I don't know. I'm told that's what I should do every time this comes in. We do what the IRS says, and sorry, I can't help you. Go talk to the IRS. Out of our hands. That's what happens. Okay?
Okay. Is there a letter or anything like that you think I can type up or that you guys can help me with that? I know, you know, that wouldn't be free, but, you know, that's something I'm able to discuss about in private or up to you.
As a Restore Freedom Plan member, yes, we can try that for you. It may work. It usually doesn't, honestly. I don't want to just sell you on something that will not help you more likely, honestly. Because it's not the letter. You've got to get somewhat of intelligence and confidence to read English language. The clerks, they're semi-illiterate. The managers, a little bit more illiterate. They don't read, you show them the law, and it's going to go over the head like, oh, wow, law, oh, gee, that's too much advanced English level language. I'm not a lawyer. I'm just a stupid, dumb employee. I don't understand this stuff. And we're told not to waste the time of our lawyers who charge us $1,000 an hour for any legal question. That's going to cost the company too much money if every Tom, Dick, and Harry has an issue with their payroll issue to go to a tax lawyer. So I've been told just to ignore you. That's the problem. You got to get the contact information of a higher-up level person to have any chance of talking to them and maybe getting somewhere. Okay?
Okay. Yeah, I also have another question. I saw on your website that you're trying to start a movement to, you know, challenge this lock-in letters into Congress. What can we do to help and assist with that collectively?
Just join Restore Freedom Plan. Because we know we have people join for $2,000 a year minimum membership. We have a lock-in letter. And we can if you join for the previous years, you already not filed. We can protect you for those years, number one. From IRS trying to legally try to assess taxes on you, collection or criminal investigation, criminal charges. So you join for the previous years, we protected for those years, and you enable us to have funding to do these lawsuits because they take time and money. Right now, actually, we're looking at some lawyers. We got the lawsuit written up. We got to find some. We got shopping around between good lawyers that will work with us that are competent and good. And file the lawsuit. We got a couple lawsuits in mind to file on behalf of everybody. I'm hoping we can do a class action lawsuit, actually. So you just joining a Restore Freedom Plan allows us the funding we need to be able to really expand this work, because lawyers are not cheap. Even though we do most of the work, I got to pay the lawyers. The good lawyers charge a lot of money. Okay?
Yeah. Okay. All right, I'll check all your plans, and then, I'll probably pull a trigger on it.
Very good.
But yeah, I guess I'll discuss this in private, I guess, at some other time.
Mm-hmm. Talk to your wife. We'll be there for you, my friend, okay? What state do you live in, by the way, Alex?
I live in Texas.
In Texas, okay. No state income tax. That's good. All right.
Yeah.
Very good, Alex. Thanks for calling, my friend. Well, I appreciate you calling us, my friend.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. Before I get the 3-7-4-7 area code caller, the number to call if you have a question is going to be put on your screen. What's the number to call? 442 is area code. Let's put it on the screen, guys. 424-552-1299 and press 1 on your telephone keypad. 424-552-1299 and then press 1. Okay, 347 area code caller, please give me your first name, how you heard about Freedom Law School, and then your question, please. I'm sorry.
Hello?
Yes, hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. My name is Joseph Vianos. I'm from New York.
Joseph, you said?
That's me.
Okay,
yes.
All right.
Joseph Vianos. I was introduced to the Freedom Law School program by my wife. She's not here because she had to do work, but she told me to sit in on the Hour Live and asked my questions.
Okay.
So question one is, I haven't filed for the last 2 years. I'm retired. We had a bill from the IRS for over $17,000 that she's been paying on since 2019.
Hold on.
She got
you
a
haven't filed for,
yes.
you, for 2 years. You haven't filed. But your $17,000 to the IRS for the previous years that you had filed 1040 income tax confession forms with the IRS, is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
And she got a letter of satisfaction for the $17,000.
What does that mean? I never heard of such a term. What does that mean exactly? I'm not sure what you mean by that. What is the letter? I never heard of IRS and anybody. He was satisfied with you. What does that mean?
That the $17,000 and change was paid. She got a letter of satisfaction, which was in the possession of the accountant.
How was it paid?
So,
how was it paid?
She was paying. She was on a program. She got a payment plan.
Okay, so she paid it off.
That.
Okay, all right. She paid it off. Got it. Okay.
So then we just recently got another bill for saying that we owe $100,000. So I don't know. I don't know who to believe. And we did an offer and compromise. They denied it and sent us a letter indicating that we owe over $100,000. And they already have sent me a letter from the DMV to get a restricted license until this tax situation is resolved. I have to drive around with a restricted license. So I did that today because today was the deadline. And we just, I don't know how to proceed other than were going to be members of the Freedom School, definitely. And I'd just like some more information on how to combat this.
Okay, well, and when you join Restore Freedom Plan, we'll assist you with this situation also. There'll be extra charge for that. I need to get more information from you. You got a mess on your hand. First of all, I can tell by what you said that it's not IRS that's after you for $100,000 plus. It's the state of New York. Why?
Okay.
Because you live in a country of New York. I live in a country of Florida. Okay, driver license, more like most everything, is by country law, your state law. The federal government has no power or jurisdiction in the state of New York or Florida. Your driver license restrictions because from New York, not the federal government.
Right.
So somehow the state of New York is after you for some unknown reason. I can only figure out after I see the paperwork of your case to see what's happening with it. So you got to give me the paperwork of your situation, then I can review to see what's going on. Complete correspondence with the state of New York. I need to see all that stuff, and then we can take it from there after you join and give you some guidance as to what your options may be, given your circumstances where they're at.
I see. Okay. Well, I guess that's about that. We need to see what's going on. Complete the extent of my question. So we got to get the paperwork together, get into the membership, and then make sure you have everything that you need to review.
Yep. You got it, my friend.
I got that corrected.
Very simple. You got it, bro.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Joseph. My pleasure. All right, people, since there's no one on queue call waiting, I'm going to go to the questions on email and that people email to us before I go to online questions that we got coming up soon thereafter. Guys, if there's any questions online, you can put it up there. We have someone from California who wrote me an email named Craig that says, I've been married for 35 years. My wife filed for divorce. I'm sorry to hear that after 35 years. I haven't filed taxes in 4 years. I've been told that I have to file taxes before in order to go forward. Is that true? Not necessarily. Okay. So that's why you should call, because that's a very vague question. Okay. Generally speaking, if you go through the divorce process at toward the end in order to determine what should be your child support or spousal support, they want to know how much you made because they want to get a percentage of that and give it to your spouse to give them your spouse every month. So they want that based upon your tax return. But it doesn't have to be done through your tax return in the first place. It's optional. It's the most common way to do it, but not necessarily. Okay? So you don't have, if only you can sell things with your wife on your own, your ex-wife-to-be, maybe not, of 35 years, come up with an amicable divorce. I don't know about the particulars of your situation. So that's as much information I can give it to you. I give you some idea, but the specifics of the case are the critical things that need to be addressed and how to negotiate that with your wife and or her lawyer or not. You know, so it's not necessarily so, but probably. But not necessarily. It depends on you and your wife. I would suggest that maybe we can talk to your wife. Has she filed for the last 4 years? I don't know. How about her? Okay? And so because you've been a non-filer, you filing will cause problems for her, potentially. So she's better off to make a deal with you in a friendly way in this divorce, if it goes through, unless she changes her mind, and yeah, you can have her to stay with you. So it's not a black and white simple answer I can give you, I'm afraid. Okay? All right, we got one more question. Any questions online you guys have for me to ask, let me know, okay? Let's get the other guys to give you a hand if you need to, guys, okay? All right, so here we have someone asking a question named R. What does R stand for? From Regla. Okay? And Regla actually has a different name on the letters I got here. It starts with the L. From New York. Okay, that's fine. You don't have to use your real name. I just want to help you guys. Well, see, I got regular here, and I got some letters addressed to Lanos. Okay, well, the name, okay, all I guess is spouse and wife. I see. It looks like you got married couple. Something's addressed to regular, some to Lanos from New York. All right. So let's see. This is a little long letter, okay? You guys will probably need some consultation privately. But let's see. They have not filed for 23 and 24, okay? And, of course, the CPA tells them to be slave, to offer and compromise. The worst thing you can do is offer and compromise. Because even if you get that deal or break, which you usually don't, because they don't give it to you unless you're poor, you agree to be a slave for 5 years and file and pay on time, otherwise the deal is off. Why would you want to be slaves again and again? You don't have a problem, okay? They said previously their accounts have been levied in May of 2022 for about $7,000. And you have a CPA you've been wasting your money on, okay? If you didn't have him, you could probably paid off the IRS a long time ago, whatever that was. And the, of course, the incompetent CPA tells him there's nothing he could do, okay? I don't know what the problem is. I don't know what the problem is with this situation at all. You don't tell me, okay? They've been on the phone with the managers of the New York State Collection Department, how the agent did not follow through with their correspondence in which they had informed them of their hardships, family loss, husband was laid off, and she was unemployed. After submitting numerous documents and lengthy phone calls, the manager informed them that they would grant them full refund. Okay. Some other CPA wanted to bill them additional $600 for his services when he made only one phone call concerning this issue. Yeah, they're thieves. Incompetent thieves. You don't owe him nothing to that guy. Pay him nothing. Or attempt to steal from you for just one useless call. We also called and emailed our former CPA inquiring about several documents and a notice from New York State Satisfied Tax Warrant dated June 22 for $17,000. This was the original amount we had been making payments from 18 to 21. There's also a Dutchess County public judgment in September 22 for about $17,000. Okay. And it seems very confusing. And the three civil correspondence that claims that we have it satisfied and one claiming there is a judgment. Okay. So we recently received notice that we owe an overwhelming amount. My husband is currently retired and I've worked as an independent contractor in the wellness industry. Good for you that you do something in the wellness industry. We are really not sure how accurate his claims have been, especially when we're not getting answers from the accountant we had worked with. The following are documents and notices that we had sent them him. Unfortunately, he never provided us any explanation, of course, because the accountant CPA has no tax law. He's incompetent. He's just a glorified tax return filer with a title called Certified Public Accountant. He's like slavery, slave assistant, to make you a slave, to put a rope around your neck. That's what he does very well. Okay? So, you got several documents, satisfied tax warrant from New York in July. You got two of them for $17,000. Adjustment notice tax, $7,000 or so. Dutchess County public judgment, $17,000. You're confused by notices indicating that they have satisfied tax warrant in the amount of $17,000. Okay, the levy account amount was returned to you. Does that mean they waived the balance and amount of $70,000 no longer an issue? Okay. You have a class during our Freedom Hour, but the husband will be able to on the live call. We greatly appreciate your time. Well, thanks. I'm glad to be of help to you, regular, but I'm not sure if your paperwork will be enough to help me explain things to you. And sure, you got a copy up here of a paper from New York Satisfactory Judgment against both of you saying that $17,000 was paid in July 1st, 2022. Okay? So then you got another letter from them that above taxes satisfied in 2022. Doesn't say what year or how much. The other one says $17,000, doesn't say what year either. Okay, but and then we have the third one is account adjustment notice, personal income tax. Okay, computation, $7,000, other payments and credits in August 2022. These are all several years old. I think you paid them. The one that says everything's paid, it's paid. You got plenty of proof that it's been paid, their own documents. So I wouldn't worry about those other ones that say you have not paid them, okay? Because left hand and the right hand obviously do not know what they're doing. You got a check they sent to you guys for $7,400 in July 2022. And the refund. So you guys are paid. I don't know why you're worried about it, my friends. Do not worry about it, regular. You're good. Okay, you don't have to worry about anything. Okay, you got these letters that you paid, and you're paid. So don't worry about that, okay? I would consider leaving that communist state of New York and that tyranny and come to a freedom-oriented state like Tennessee, New Hampshire, Florida, Texas, someplace where the cost of living is much less. I don't have a state income tax like New York has. So that's my best suggestion to you. All right, I see no questions online that we have, but I'm going to put the number to call if you have any questions. Your last try. Call now. Get your question answered. Call 424-552-1299. And then you press 1 on your telephone keypad, and I'm going to get your question answered. Again, the number if you have a question now is 424-552-1299 and press 1 on your telephone keypad and I will get your question answered. All right. Do you have any comments, questions online we got to answer? Are we good for tonight, guys? All right. So, let's see. Is that, you know, Javadi's asked questions answered or is he good? He's good. No?
A lot of comments.
Okay. I have no questions to answer. Okay. If you guys are good, I'm good. Remember, the key to your freedom is in your hands. All I can do is provide you the information. The answer is in your hands. You got to go to our website, okay, at freedomlawschool.org and watch the videos as you drive around, okay? 7 steps to be free, okay? And just listen to it as you drive, and you can be free by educating yourself. Now, someone asked what happened to Mr. Robert Schultz of We the People Foundation for Constitutional Education. Well, really, not much. He's a good friend of mine. He's still a good friend, but he did not listen to me way back about 20 years ago. He came to me too late when I messed with him and didn't do the things I told him to do timely, properly. And they got a big judgment against him. And I'm not sure what happened after that. I haven't talked to him really for over 15 years. I understand he's still alive. And he's not doing anything with the IRS as far as I know. So really, I don't have any more information about him. But I wish him well. If he hears us, Bob, give me a call sometime. What's up? I'm very busy, my friend. He's in his 80s, I know. Because I'm 63, he's older than me. He's close to 80 years old, I'm sure. All right. Another question from Stephen Hirsch. Thank you for your great information. I filed those petition letters about 8 months ago with the Congress. Good for you. I also work with Brandon and Joe Williams at don'tbeslave.com. He teaches similar information as you. Well, I never heard of the guy. All right, so I'll check him out. Okay, whoever is, okay. And anything you want to ask of me, my friend, I'll check him out. All right, you know what he says, and maybe he works with us, maybe we can work together. He's a young freedom lover. Good, we're looking to work with young freedom lovers, okay? All right, a horny, worthless, racist bastard looking for his next victim. All right, okay, all right. That's what we got on his website. All right, any other questions we got tonight? Otherwise, it looks like we're good. Guys, I love you all, and this is my way of sharing my love with you. By having this all this knowledge over 30 years, gathered, make the law simple to understand when the price of housing and food is up, way above wages, okay, guess what? Okay, I'm giving you a chance to give yourself a pay raise. Don't file paying income tax legally and safely with a guarantee if you want, if you join the Restore Freedom Plan or on your own, you can do it for free. Okay, it's there for you. So you got the key. Listen to our videos at freedomlawschool.org. Educate yourself. Write the petition to your congressman by certified mail, properly and fully, and start living a free, prosperous life full of joy and freedom with your family. Good night, everybody.